ask you, oh, I don't know, 12, 15 questions, and answer them as short or as long as you want.
Are you recording this?
Yes, is that all right?
Well, depends on what kind of questions you're going to ask.
Okay, if there's anything you don't want to answer me, just tell me you don't want to answer it,
okay.
You know. No problem. Basically, this is going to be a PG-rated interview. No RX stuff. First, let me tell you, I appreciate this. Long time ago, when I was a kid, you were one of my favorite players, and I remember when you came out to pitch for the Seals. I lived about 25, 30 miles down the peninsula, and my parents would take me to 8 or 10 games a year anyhow. And I was really glad that you were coming out there. I could see you pitch, but I was really unhappy because you weren't in the major leagues anymore. It was kind of torn between the emotions. Basically, I just asked you questions about your career and about some of your thoughts. I don't think it's anything that you'll have a problem with, I hope.
Are you going to publish any of this?
Yes, this will be in a magazine called Sports Collector's Digest. Are you familiar with that?
I don't believe I am.
It's basically for baseball card, football card collectors, things like that. Mostly filled with ads, but they do publish a few articles, a few interviews, and usually it's a weekly publication. Usually two or three times a month I'll have either an article or an interview in it. We'll send you a copy or two or however many you want when it does come out. You came to the Senators when you were 19 years old, but you had, what did you have, a couple of games in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Why were you up so fast?
Well, for the simple reason that Washington didn't have a whole lot of minor league players at that time. And how it happened is I signed a contract with them in 1938, but not being able to take effect until 1939 because of Bob Feller and his position, that they passed the rule that you had to come from college or from the minor leagues. And at the particular time, I didn't come from either.
Uh-huh.
So they one of the parts of the contract that I signed was that I would be allowed to travel with the Major League Club for the remainder of the season. It amounted to August and September.
38.
Might have been part of, July.
Okay.
And which I did.
You were just out of high school then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I became familiar with the ball club and the players and everything, and then when we went to spring training in January, they took all the pitchers that they had, and just said that 10 of you are going to leave here with the ball club, and the rest of you are going to go to the minor leagues, which they only had at that time, I believe, Chattanooga and Charlotte.
Wow.
So I signed a Charlotte contract, which took care of the situation about me coming from a minor league.
Mm-hmm.
Then I pitched the opening day and relieved in another game and left that night. Came on back up to Washington.
And stayed there in the bullpen that year?
Practically.
Yeah. Okay, well, the Senators were, I guess, not a good team at that point.
We had some fine hitters. Our problems were principally with our defense.
Oh, the hitters. Well, you didn't have. I guess it didn't matter how much power you had with that ballpark you were in.
Yeah, we had single hitters.
Yeah.
There weren't any. Well, it's practically impossible to have a long ball hitter with a 405-foot left field fence.
Yeah, isn't that something? That's hard to believe.
Yeah. Oh. It's a great place to pitch, though.
I bet it was.
A lot of it in the air. No bad hops up there. Let the Greyhounds go get it.
I guess you matured in the major leagues since you didn't have any, for all intents and purposes, no minor league experience. 42, you had an interesting year. You won 5 games and 4 were shutouts.
Yeah.
So evidently, you had to do it all yourself.
Well, again, we had a ball club, and our shortstop was gone, and we had about 4 or 5 second basemen and 4 or 5 shortstops. And if you can't make the double play, you're in bad shape defensively.
No, sure.
And this just seemed to be, of course, I've learned from that. experience that there's never been a great ball club without a great second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have that. That's a principal ingredient in winning. So we just didn't seem to come up with that exceptional person at that particular position.
Well, later on, you had Jerry Pretty. He could hit. How was he as a fielder?
Well, again, you didn't realize how I had never realized what a second baseman was until I went to Boston.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had one there, didn't you?
Yes, the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
A real great second baseman.
A lot of people were critical of him finally being elected to the Hall of Fame, but I thought it was well beyond the time he should have been in.
Well, the only thing, you had to play with Bob, or you had to see Joe Gordon play, or Gehringer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Gehringer could do anything that Gordon or Doerr couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I saw him at the end of his career, so that wouldn't be a fair...
Well, he had a higher batting average, I guess. But,
yes, but he hit in the short ballpark, too.
Sure did.
And he hit in a green cage and where he had a real good background,
mm-hmm.
and which made a lot of difference. But if they had told me who to pick between Doerr and Gordon, it would be a hard pick.
Well, I think Gordon probably belongs in, too. He's had more power, I think, than Doerr.
Well, the principal thing you have going for Joe Gordon is the fact that he played on World Championships teams, and then when he left and went to Cleveland, all of a sudden Cleveland became
a
champion.
That's a strong argument for him. It sure is.
It certainly is. It certainly is.
I think time will get him in there.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you went in the military. You were there for three years, essentially, weren't
yes.
you? Were you drafted or did you enlist?
No, I enlisted.
Okay, what branch?
Navy.
Did you play ball in the Navy?
Yes, I played in the summer, the submarine base at Pearl Harbor.
Did you have many other major league players with you there?
All you wanted.
No kidding. Pretty good team, then.
Yeah, well, when I first got there in 43, there were Jimmy Gleason and myself from the Cubs. We were the only two there at that time.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, I went to Midway at the end of 43, and then I came back 6 months later to the sub-base, and then I went aboard the Apollo and then wound up at the end of the invasion down in Guam. And I was down there for 6 months and then came back to Pearl Harbor again and then got assigned new construction in New London, Connecticut. And that was just prior to getting out.
What'd you get out the last month of the season, probably in 45?
Yes, uh-huh. They had just put in the point system. And of course, all the people, recruits and everything, I had probably as high points as anyone on the base, so I got out. And I guess Mr. Griffith had used some political pressure, too, because he was trying to win the pennant.
Washington had a couple of pretty good wartime ball clubs. You missed those.
I didn't know too much about them, you know, at that particular time. And I wasn't in the country, so I don't know what they did.
Yeah, I think they had two second places in there while you were gone.
Uh-huh.
But you came back, and they, I guess all the rest of the guys came back too, and the Senators dropped back down to where they were before you left.
Yeah.
What do you think the time in the service did to your career? Did it do much damage to it?
No, as a matter of fact, it gave me time to work on a move first to first base, and it gave me an opportunity to pitch at my own pace so I wouldn't get hurt,
mm-hmm.
and which there were a lot of people hurt over there in Hawaii, and Vern Olson was one of them that comes to mind, another guy by the name of Hank Feimster.
Mm-hmm.
There were quite a few people that got hurt over there playing and finished their careers, actually.
That's a rough way to go, too.
Yes, but you know, it's wartime. You do what you have to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the attitude should be that way today, I guess, but it sure isn't.
Well, it's a different thing, that.
When you came back to the Senators, you were a relief pitcher, then you became a starter, and I guess an argument could probably be made for you for being one of the top half a dozen or so starting pitchers in the league for a couple of years, even though your record wasn't a winning record. You were with a team that was way down, 47-48. You're a good pitcher, a doggone good pitcher, an all-star team both years.
Mm-hmm.
Your first all-star game, you pitched an inning in one or two thirds, inning in two thirds, I guess it was.
Yeah.
But you got a man on base, and then they brought Joe Page in, is that right?
Yeah, Mize came up to hit. They put Mize in as a pitch hitter, and they brought Page in to pitch to him.
And he finished the game up?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The next year you started.
Yeah.
A whole lot of people can play a whole lot of years and never start an All-Star game.
Well, that would be the highlight of my career.
You made one bad pitch.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was a good pitch.
It wasn't? Just to a good hitter.
Yeah. I had him all set up. I had two strikes on him, and I was throwing a curveball or a fastball out away from him, and I tried to get it off the plate, and it was, and he just reached out and jerked it up against the fence. That's all I was doing.
Well, he was a pretty decent hitter, though.
Oh, he ought to be sending me Christmas presents. I pitched against him when we were in the service. I think he got about 8 for 11 off of me, something like that.
And you played against him for a while then?
Well, I had seen him before.
Uh-huh.
That, yes.
And he'd seen you, so.
Yeah, he owned me. it was either a little nub or a rocket. It wasn't, just one of those things.
That was in his ballpark, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess that made the fans happy.
Yeah, well.
But you didn't, that was it, though. You settled down, and that was it for the National League in that game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That must have been a pretty big thrill.
Yes, it was. It's exciting any time when you're selected. See, the pitchers in those days were selected by the managers.
Right.
And the fans, it wasn't one of the deals where the fans or the writers selected the players.
Mm-hmm.
They selected the players at the other positions, but they didn't select the pitchers.
Right, that's the way it ought to be, I think.
There's an argument both ways for it. I can, I can see where I look at things and try to balance things out with emotion and logic. And if you're going to the logical aspect of it, you have to let the players select them because they're the only ones that know.
That's right.
Who can do what in a given situation. And because the pitchers especially know who they're going to pitch around and how they're going to work against different people.
Mm-hmm.
So the fan never knows that, nor does the person sitting up in the press box, because they don't know what's going through the pitcher's head at that particular time. And by the same token, you can have a fellow who had a great year and get hurt, and he can win a position even though he's injured.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to call it a spectacle, then that person should be in it. In the spectacle, because they're stars, and rightfully so. Fans want to see them, so.
Well, that's a difference between an All-Star game and, I don't know what the other term would be. But the star, if it's an All-Star game, the best ones ought to be there. If it's a game for the fans and the one the fans want ought to be there, they don't always coincide.
Well, that's true, and it flip-flops back from year to year. Sometimes you have a lot of injured players, and a lot of times you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to. I want the fans involved because the fans are what makes it. And
oh, sure.
If they weren't involved, then it would be taking something away from the game.
Who was the manager with Bucky Harris in 48? Who managed the 47? Was that?
Cronin.
Oh, yeah, right, sure. Okay. Well, you played for him. A couple years later, they traded a couple players to get you to go to Boston.
Yeah.
How did you like that?
I didn't like it.
And you were happy in Washington?
Yeah, I was much happier. I liked Mr. Griffith, and I was part of a family there.
Uh-huh.
And, when I went to Boston, I don't know, just... well, first of all, high fastball pitchers.
Yeah.
In a bad shape in that sandbox up there. But I understood what they got me for was to pitch against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. And then our manager was taken away, and we got a new manager who, I don't know whether he had a personal prejudice against me or what the heck he had, but I couldn't understand it.
McCarthy?
McCarthy was a great nurse. O'Neill.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, I wish McCarthy had stayed, but of course that was an unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
But,
he took a bad rap up there, I think.
Yeah, I went to Cronin and I asked him, I said, please trade me or release me or do something to get me the hell out of this, get me away from this guy. I said, because I'm not doing you any good and you're not doing me any good.
Now, at 51, you were evidently forgotten. You'd been a good steady pitcher for half a dozen years, 4 or 5 years anyhow at that point, and all of a sudden you just didn't throw anymore.
Yeah.
That year.
I think I won 3-0, something like that.
3-0, but you had 59 innings all season.
All year.
That's kind of a waste. But you went back home after that.
Yeah.
And had 2 real good years again.
Yeah. It's just the difference, I guess, in the type of ball club that you're with. And the ballpark has a whole lot to do with it. And people will never realize how great Mel Parnell was, a left-handed pitcher pitching up in that bandbox.
Yeah, that's amazing. 25 wins, didn't you have 1 year?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the record for 3 or 4 years, that is just absolutely fantastic. But people outside of Boston don't know that.
Yeah, people today, I've got a 17-year-old son, 18-year-old son. I was talking about it, told him I was going to call you tonight and name some of the names. And, you know, you were a favorite of mine. I've heard of you. A lot of people today would not have. He hadn't, but he'd not heard of Mel Parnell, and I thought that was pretty hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But, you know, growing up in different times, I guess, his kids will not have heard of Dwight Gooden, maybe.
Yeah, it happens that way. I know that I'm one of the board of directors of the Major League Baseball Players Alumni Association, and they'd look at me like a dinosaur.
Oh, I bet they do. Yeah, well, you contributed, though. You've got to know that.
Well, yeah, they know.
You had an ability to throw shutouts. 3 different seasons, you had 4 shutouts. That's bunching them together.
Well, I don't know how to explain it. It just sometimes it just happens that way. I could throw the ball hard. I do that. And it wasn't until 47, 48 that I learned how to pitch. And that made a lot of difference.
Yeah.
It changed the game for me. It made it a lot more fun because it was just physical labor prior to that. And after learning some of that, it helped, and the game became a whole lot more fun than what it was before, where you were actually involved in a mental struggle with the hitter at that particular time. He was attacking you, and you were attacking him. So you were trying to force him to do something he didn't want to do, and he was trying to force you to do something you weren't doing.
Just had whoever had the strongest will and the best ability won it.
And the good luck.
Oh, I bet a lot of that, yes.
You throw the prettiest pitch in baseball, a line drive double play.
Uh-huh. And they swing at bat, they can knock it anywhere.
Yeah.
This is a question that, of course, there's no way to know, but you had some good records for some bad teams. What do you think you'd have done if you'd have pitched for somebody like Cleveland or New York or something during those times?
I have no idea. I really truly have no idea. And that's something that's it's speculative. And all I know is I thank the good Lord that I had an opportunity to play when I did play, and I enjoyed every single minute of it. And I don't think there's a better way to earn a living. And I think Little League and baseball as a whole is one of the things that makes this country great. And I know it's a kid's sport.
Yeah, well,
played by adults, but by the same token, it brings a lot of things to a lot of people who wouldn't normally have gotten, to a position. To just imagine that I would ever ride on a train. To imagine I would ever go to Chicago, the place I used to listen to on the radio, and just to fulfill all those dreams from a kid on the streets, and it makes a whole lot of difference.
Yeah, I guess it opens a great many doors for a whole lot of people.
Sure.
Question is that I have often wondered, and I will ask you, I hadn't planned on doing this. In the late 40s, a lot of pitchers had gone along with pretty decent strikeout to walk ratios, not great, but pretty decent. All of a sudden, they were walking a whole lot more than they were striking out. What happened there, 46, 47, somewhere in there? Did they alter the strike zone, or what was the deal?
Well, I don't know. There was a transition taking place during that time. You had a fellow by the name of Al Smith that came over to Cleveland and from New York, from the Giants, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he started what they call thinking around. He'd throw a little curveball and he'd change speeds. And prior to that, it was practically brute strength against brute strength.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you remember, if you, well, you were young then, you probably, no way you would know. The American League was a fastball league. The National League was a breaking ball league.
Right, yes, I remember.
The National League umpires gave you the low pitch, and the American League gave you the high pitch and wouldn't give you the low pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So if they did adjust, they did it among themselves. We had some new umpires come in. There were a lot of young, new umpires come in, and a couple of them were hitters umpires. And there is such a thing.
Yes, indeed.
They had a very unique concept about what a strike zone looked like. And, but, you know, it's the same for everybody.
Well, the reason it just occurred to me, I was looking at your record here, and I've seen it in many other guys, like in 47, you struck out 135 and walked 97. The next year, you struck out 72 and walked 122.
Uh-huh.
And looking over records of other pitchers, it's been similar. About that time, there was almost a reversal of the strikeouts and walks, and I thought maybe they'd tighten the strike zone or something, but evidently they...
You had some of the older umpires retired. Eddie Rommel,
mm-hmm.
Steve Basil, Geisel, Major Kurth. A lot of those fellows retired, and then you had new people coming on. And I don't know. I know a couple of them were, it's almost like the time when I asked a question of one of the umpires, and Gehringer was hitting. I said, what happened to those pitches on him? He said, as far as I'm concerned, he's got a swing.
Oh, boy.
Against you. I said, oh, thanks.
That makes it a little bit tougher. You got a 320 hitter that has to swing. the All-Star game, you mentioned one of the biggest things. Is there a game other than that stands out in your memory?
I had a unusual thing happen in St. Louis one night. We went in there, and Ray Scarborough was pitching against the Browns, and he had them beat and 1-0, and it was in the ninth inning, and he had nobody out, and the bases loaded, and I struck out the slide on 10 pitches.
Wow.
One foul ball, so that I remember.
Yeah, that's something to remember. Who were the batters? You remember them?
Kokas, Gryhowski, and right-hand hitter. I'm trying to think. White, I think his name was.
Well, I don't remember Kokas and Gryhowski. I don't remember White.
He was a right-handed hitter in the lineup about that time.
Okay.
Blonde-haired guy.
It escapes me, but White's not the most unusual name in town.
Well, that might not have been his name, too. But I remember, he was the other two were left-handed, he was right-handed.
Who was the best hitter or player you think you saw?
Best hitter?
Yeah, or overall player.
No doubt. Best all-around player?
Yeah, well, either way. Well, let's take best hitter first.
Best hitter, nobody close to Williams.
He was the best. I guess that's a safe answer. Who was the best all-around player?
Never saw anybody compared to Joe DiMaggio.
Overall everything?
Best base runner I have ever seen. Never saw him throw it from first to third.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Somebody else told me the same thing. He must have been something.
He was.
I was too young.
He made the play when you needed it. And he got the hit when you needed it. There are people like Williams and DiMaggio and Aaron and Gibson, Feller,
mm-hmm.
Koufax. These people are different. They're not journeyman ball players. These people are exceptional people.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I remember, I guess, I grew up through Hank Aaron's career, and I remember he always was amazing. Everything looks so easy.
Yeah.
And people have told me that about DiMaggio as well.
Yeah.
Who was the toughest hitter on you?
Toughest hitter on me?
Yeah. That
hit me the hardest?
Yeah.
Rudy York.
Oh, he could hit the ball, couldn't he?
No, but he was a low ball, breaking ball hitter, and I was a high fastball pitcher. He must have hit 800.
No kidding.
He and Musial, I had a really tough time with them, among several others, but they were especially tough.
Who was there a team that you had a particularly easy or tough time against?
No, it was a hard thing to say.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Mm-hmm. He's a member of our group, but he does not. We're in the tax-free organization, and we can't lobby or do anything like that.
Right.
But he is a member, and we do support him in everything he does.
Is he accomplishing much?
Well, it remains to be seen what comes out of this new contract.
Well, I hope it does. I think, I don't know if you remember Gene Thompson, pitched for the Reds. Yeah, Gene's a friend of mine. I've known him for several years. He's, you know, borderline bitter over the situation. He was, well, back with you working for the original thing.
Yeah, I was in the Navy with him.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, awfully nice fellow. He's still in baseball.
Uh-huh.
And he talks about it, and he'll get upset talking about it.
Well, I can understand why. We're now going back to investigate. I talked with Allie Reynolds last week. We were down in St. Pete together. We had a reunion.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And in the conversation, I asked him, he sued baseball because of the way they were handling the pension plan at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he said, you're going to have a tough time finding anything. He said, because there are no records.
That does make it a challenge.
Yeah. Of course, it remains to be seen if you take it to court what the court's going to find. It's my assumption that my wife has to pay the same amount of money in the store for a pound of meat or a loaf of